I am profoundly grateful for the opportunity you have given me to be with you in Houston and to see with my own eyes the magnitude of your civic progress since last I was in the heart of Texas. You stand in the vanguard of the almost incredible material advance of our great nation. I could wish that every American might capture the true picture as I see it of the immeasurable spiritual, physical, and material strength inherent in our people. I was never more deeply inspired, never more confident that we have so relatively progressed that no nation nor combination of nations can offer a serious threat to our security. Yet, strangely, I find prevalent throughout the land a feeling of fear generated by the constant but false propaganda that we are weak, that we are not prepared to defend against any who may attack, that against our every inclination and tradition, we must appease and compromise to encourage others to desist from attacking. There could be no greater illusion, no surer incitation to attack us than the lack of confidence we thus show in ourselves. Why should we lose the courage and self-assurance with which we have met and overcome the threat of every past crisis in our history? Our nation is young and virile, and our future is still before us. Let no man tell you that we are old and decadent and tottering on the verge of national collapse. All that I have seen since my return is to the contrary. All that I have seen points to the fact that we were never so strong, either individually or collectively. It is not from threat of external attack that we have reason for fear. It is from those insidious forces working from within. It is they who create the basis for fear by spreading false propaganda designed to destroy those moral precepts to which we have clung for direction since the immutable declaration of our independence became the great charter of our liberty. This campaign to pervert the truth and shape or confuse the public mind with its consequent weakening of moral courage is not chargeable entirely to communists engaged in a centrally controlled worldwide conspiracy to destroy all freedom. For they have many allies, here as elsewhere, who, blind to reality, ardently support the general communist aim while reacting violently to the mere suggestion that they do so. are those who subvert morality as the means to gain or entrench power. There are those who, believing themselves liberal, chart a course which can but lead to destruction. There are those cynically inclined whose restless impulse is ever seeking change. There are those who are constantly trying to alter our basic concepts of freedom and human rights. There are those who seek to prevent men from fearlessly speaking their minds according to the dictates of their conscience. There are those who plan to limit our individual right to share in the sovereign power of the people. There are those who seek to subvert government from being the guardian of the people's rights to make of it an instrument of despotic power. There are those who plan to alter the constitutional checks and balances established to preserve the integrity of our coordinate branches. There are those who seek to make the burden of taxation so great and the progressive increase so alarming that the spirit of adventure, tireless energy, and masterly initiative which built the material strength of the nation shall become tossified and inert. There are those who seek to make all men servants of the state. There are those who seek to change our system of free private enterprise, which, whatever its fault, commands the maximum of energy from human resource and provides the maximum of benefit in human happiness and contentment. Finally, and perhaps the most deadly, are those who seek to convert us to a form of socialistic endeavor leading directly to the path of communist slavery. As a counterbalance to those forces is the deep spiritual urge in the hearts of our people. A spiritual urge capable of arousing and directing a decisive and impelling public opinion. This indeed is the great safeguard and resource of America. So long as it exists, we are secure, for it holds us to the path of reason. It is an infallible reminder that our greatest hope and faith rests upon two mighty symbols, the cross and the flag. The one based upon those immutable teachings which provide the spiritual strength to persevere along the course which is just and right. The other based upon the invincible will that human freedom shall not perish from this earth. These the mighty bulwarks against the advance of those atheistic, predatory forces which seek to destroy the spirituality of the human mind and to enslave the human body. On this day, annually set apart for all Americans to repledge their allegiance to the flag and to the republic for which it stands, let us pray for the spiritual strength and innate wisdom to keep this nation to the course of freedom charted by our fathers. To preserve it as the mighty instrument on earth to bring universal order out of existing chaos. To restore liberty where liberty has perished, and to reestablish human dignity where dignity has been suppressed. Let me again thank this great metropolis for the warmth of its almost overwhelming reception of Mrs. MacArthur and myself. In this Southland, we are indeed both of us at home. But you have etched a new memory to us, which we can never forget.
General MacArthur has concluded.